Let's go. We're still studying in Luke 8, verse 17. We're studying the word manifest. So let's go to Romans 1. The word manifest is phaneros, which means shining or become obvious. Found my key in the bag of corn. It was manifest. How it got there, it probably was Sue somehow.
Matthew, did you say?
Romans, chapter 1. Verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, just a little side trip. That's a quote. The just shall live by faith is a quote from Habakkuk 2. But there it says, the just shall live by his faith. I've got to tell you over and over again, we have no faith. We have faith to do stupid things like sit in a chair. But we do not have faith. We live by his faith. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So all of these things, there's lessons and books and how to increase your faith. The only way you increase your faith is by repentance. What?
Well, I'm thinking how there's always a counterfeit to God's stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So the counterfeit in this sense is man's faith and man's ability to believe as far as it goes. But man's ability is always turned to his own self.
Amen.
Ability. I will have, I used to do this in gymnastics, I believe that I can do this trick or whatever. It was always about me.
That's what the prosperity gospel is. They teach you how to have the faith. Faith. More faith.
Faith or self-faith.
For faith to get. Faith, yeah. To get stuff.
Right, because they never preached the cross, so that's the only thing they got to work with.
All right, that's not what we're studying. That was just a little teeny side trip. It was not the thing. It wasn't the thing. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold or contain the truth, but it's in unrighteousness. Now that's a big deal. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold. And the word hold is better translated. It means contain, but it's to restrain. Who restrain the truth. And how do you restrain the truth?
By damning to protect yourself.
By saying, you don't deny Christ by saying he doesn't exist. You deny Christ by saying you exist. And that makes everything so simple. Then either God is revealed or you die. There's no in between. Amen? That's another little side trip. Because, and this is why, this is the because. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and godliness, so that they are without excuse. And that's... Talk about a damning thing. Because that which may be known of God is manifest. That's the word we're studying. In them. That's why it's so wild to, you know, when I was in Wednesday night, the other night, and then when I was in California, I mean, you know, I told them they were the Antichrist and all the stuff. But it was like they knew it. It was like, boom. Because I'm not telling them anything they didn't already know. It just had to be a witness. Yeah. What's that guy's name, Lonnie, that was there for the first time?
Yeah, you mentioned a guy named Lonnie.
Well, you weren't there?
Oh, yeah. No, here. There was a guy named Lonnie there. It was the first time on Wednesday afternoon.
All right. All right. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Studying manifest. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. What?
1 Corinthians 8.
1 Corinthians chapter 3. Well, Pete is somewhere else this morning.
He's trying to be here.
Verse 9, chapter 3, verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Now, what's he talking about? There's the metaphor of the bride, which is the true metaphor, which is hard to understand, but here, in other places, it's a metaphor of a building, and each of us are a stone in that building. So that's what he's talking about. And again, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold or silver or precious stones or wood or hay or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If a man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. In other words, all this, that's why we never say who's saved or who isn't. Because all of this crap that people are building upon the foundation of Jesus Christ shall be tried or tested by fire. And the only thing that can come through that fire is Jesus Christ. So you can. This is why you don't. You don't have to concern yourself with what other people are doing. You know, I get upset at it. But the point of it is that I think the preachers are in deep doo doo, but the people, even though they're taught to build others' things on the foundation, they're still yet saved, though their work shall be tried by fire. Amen?
Yeah.
What?
I agree with that.
So you better pick your preacher carefully.
I think there was some slams here. All right. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I don't want to do it. Verse 17, chapter 11, 1 Corinthians. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you are come together, not for the better, but for the worse. First of all, when you are come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must also be there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. So that there will always be heresies among us. To contrast, and that's the most critical way of teaching, is contrast. Amen. There must also be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. All right. Let's go to chapter 14. Remember, manifest means shining, clear, no shadows or turnings.
It makes me think about, if you're seeing from God's point of view, you see Him. He is manifest. He is shining in all things. If you're not seeing Him, you look at something and you say, oh, crap, look at that terrible thing happening. You know, it's like you...
Well, this is talking about doctrine.
What? Talk about doctrine.
Look, what we just read is talking about doctrine. There must be heresies. That heresy, by definition, has to do with doctrine. So that they which are approved might be made manifest. Okay, verse chapter 14.
Where did we go?
First Corinthians chapter 14.
Verse 24. But let's go up a little bit. It's talking about tongues. In verse 23, if therefore the whole church become together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will he not say that you are mad? But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced or convicted of all, he is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. So falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. Now what that means is the prophesying is not foretelling, remember now, in the New Testament, since Jesus, it's forthtelling. And so forthtelling has all kinds of components. And you may say something to someone that convicts a man in his heart as though you read his mail. And that's what this means. It's the forth telling, not tongues. Okay? Okay, let's go to Daniel 9. Verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision, and to seal up the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Now, that's what happened at the cross. That was the finished work of Christ. That prophecy is sealed or finished. Foretelling is finished. Now it's only forthtelling. So you don't tell the future, you tell forth whatever God has revealed in a meeting. That's what they're talking about. And it convicts somebody's heart. I remember the first time that one guy came and I was talking about the evilness of men's heart, and he was a kind of humorous, and he said, I perceive there is a prophet among us. Well, that's what each one of us should be when you forthtell, so that you know and reveal the secrets of men's heart, that they may see and have a witness that they're not in it alone and that there's another way. Amen?
There's signs and wonders?
That, again, we don't do signs and wonders. We are signs and wonders. And that would be a fruit of what we are. Now, a minor thing of that is a thing you repeat all the time. When you were talking about, when you called me, and you said, "Oh, I don't want to be a burden to you." And I said, "I have no burdens." And that's, for some reason, that struck you, and you remembered it. And there was true for everyone in different ways for many different people. I mean, what?
Maybe think of Ronnie.
Well, he needs prophecy. All right. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 4. And we read this for something else. But let's start in chapter 3:15. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Now the veil is what keeps something from being manifest. Okay? Now, to me, the veil is that's what John the Baptist did when he caused the people to cross to the other side of the Jordan. By doing so, they made with physicality, they confessed that they weren't worthy to be in the kingdom of God. So he made manifest. But the scribes and Pharisees stayed on the other side. And for them, the veil was on their heart. Now the same is true for modern Christians. When you say, "Because I have accepted Jesus as my personal Savior, therefore once saved, always saved," then they are in the same position exactly as John the Baptist was with the Jews. They need to be able to confess that they are not worthy, under no conditions ever will be worthy, to enter into the kingdom of God, and therefore a whole new world opens up. So the difference is between the veil or make manifest. If the veil is on their hearts, nothing can cause that to be made manifest. And we'll see why in a minute.
Just as an aside on that, it's like that's the dividing line in the church today. I believe that people are taught that if they accept Christ as their personal Savior, that they are now righteous and worthy. They don't walk in the knowledge that they're,
And therefore they always have to be hypocrites.
They
have to act like they're doing it.
Yeah.
Okay. Now the Lord, nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, that means with everything manifest, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, instead of seeing ourselves, are changed or transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, we don't quit, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. So hidden things, again, is opposite of manifest. Hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth. By manifestation, making it open, plain. You're an open book. Commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. If the veil is on someone's heart, you don't appeal to their self-interests and to get a conversion experience, because it won't be a conversion experience. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because the veil is still in their heart, only you're increasing the veil in the name of God. You're increasing the thickness of the veil. This is the symbolism of this was, and when Jesus was crucified, the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom, which is impossible. And the sham of that religion was shown because the Ark of the Covenant wasn't in the Holy of Holies. And that had, we can't even... There's no way in our consciousness we can understand the dramatic need for that veil to have been rent. Well, the same veil has to be rent in us. That makes it a sham of what we think and what we believe, and all our opinions and our ideas are just an open sham. Do you get the connection? What? You keep doing it. You going to share it with us, or are you just going to mumble with your fingers in your mouth?
Well, no, I'm not
going to
share.
All right. Let's go to... Well, we went there before, but let's go it again. Ephesians. Chapter 5.
I'll tell you what I love saying in this, like, this is so intimate and personal. Everything we're talking about right now, it gets down to the most protected part of you.
Not protected part of you, it was a sham.
Yeah, and so you veil it so that others won't see it and know that you're what you are. And rather being transparent, unashamed,
because he took the shame. Amen. All right, this is the one.
Where are we?
We went to Ephesians 5. And this is why this whole thing about, remember, this is the word was, and let no man deceive you with vain words. And we studied the other day. Well, I'll just go to it again. Verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not you therefore partakers with them, for you were sometimes darkness. Again, you didn't walk in darkness, you were darkness. You didn't walk in sin, you were sin. Amen? But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove. Now you have no fellowship with it because you don't permit it in yourself. You have gone to war and you revenged all your disobedience. You revenged all of those stupid thoughts that you thought were so great, and ideas, and you brought every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, that's why it is a shame even to speak of those things that you think are great. Remember, the cup of wrath that the whore is holding is golden. That means that everything that's in that cup that is filthiness and abomination unto God are what you think is golden, right, and good, and proper. Remember that? You're doing it, you're really doing it now. That's right. The other analogy, and we do study on Pentecost, is you're trying to make yourself acceptable to the one that has the right of first redemption. And you do it automatically without the cross until you see your filthiness and abhor yourself. And you're just going to continue on. That's why that words of Job in the last chapter, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee, and I abhor myself and repent in sackcloth and ashes. Until you reach that point, everything else is just commentary. You can try to change it. It's just dismissed, divorced. You get a divorce from yourself. And you don't go back for secret nookie trips. Did I say that?
Yeah.
I think that's on the tape.
I didn't say that. That's why that friend of mine that was married 9 times but 7 times to the same woman.
Story about the woman who married herself this morning. It's funny you talk about divorcing yourself.
Right? She married herself.
Yeah. I mean, well,
which one said I do?
What's that?
Which one said I do?
They both did.
I guess they agreed with themselves. But I mean, it's an interesting point.
It's the definition of double mindedness.
Well, you just talk about divorcing yourself. So, first of all, you got to realize you've already married yourself.
All right. For it is a shame to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. And Christ shall give thee light, or Christ shall be thy light. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've done it again. No.
Would you jump ahead?
Jump ahead. Skip some. We'll never know. We'll never know the difference.
Well, aren't you proud of yourself? Anybody have any other response? What did this touch in you, Gary? Something deep.
Well, I think the veil part. How deep it does go. I mean, we sometimes play surface Christianity just to satisfy ourselves.
Who does?
Some people. I see that.
That's another philosophy.
Yeah.
You know, I love philosophy.
I'm glad you do, too. It makes it a little easier to
All right, take it, big guy.